There are visual tricks that can help black and white seem like color. For instance, if you stare at a particular series of wavy lines, they'll make your eyes see red. But the moment that Technicolor movies arrived in the black and white world of the 1930s, the entire visual language of film changed.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That was the thrilling moment when Dorothy lands in Oz and the movie goes from black and white Kansas to brilliant Technicolor.
We must be over the rainbow.
We asked Bob Harris, a restorer of Technicolor films, and Scott Higgins, who teaches film at Wesleyan University, to tell us about the Technicolor revolution.
It's a series of moments in films that made me think Technicolor is where I should be focusing my efforts. One of the great films is Leave Her to Heaven, which is this Jean Tierney melodrama from the 1940s. And what got me was her introduction in the movie. She's sitting on a train car. It's a medium close-up, and you see Jean Tierney's eyes, which are really this amazing, almost aqua green. And very quickly you realize that the entire train car, the upholstery, the walls, has been colored to match Jean Tierney's eyes. What are these moments of perfection that made me think, oh, there's more here. I have to understand this. I have to keep looking.
Working in the early 30s, Technicolor created a perfected three-color process. In a single camera, three strips of black and white negative would be exposed with three filters, each capturing a third of the spectrum. And that's where three-strip Technicolor came from. Your consummate Technicolor films from the 30s and 40s were all photographed on three strips of black and white negative and then printed with dye. So they were really photographed in black and white. And the color came in the printing process.
Now we've got color on top of black and white. How are cinematographers going to handle that? What Technicolor did was create the Color Advisory Service, run by Natalie Kelmis. And her job was to control the look of Technicolor films. And the Color Advisory Service exercised its rights by demanding the scripts from the studios, then creating what they called a color score of the script. So they would take the script, break it down into scene, and then suggest the appropriate colors for the appropriate mood in each scene. Take that to first the costume designer, because they assume, quite rightly, that the most important color is going to be the costume worn by the lead female character. This is why Jean Tierney's eyes become the center of the train car. They even had control and input into the printing of the film after everything was shot.
Technicolor, which is a trademark, it's become a word like Kleenex or Frigidaire. And when people think of high-quality color, they automatically think of Technicolor. They think of the old ads from the 30s and the 40s and the early 50s where, you know, alongside the title of the film, you would occasionally have emblazoned the words in Technicolor. And that has stayed with us, and society has continued with that.
Meet Me in St. Louis is great because here's Vincent Minnelli using color as much as possible to play the subtext of a scene. And the scene that stands out for me is not one of the big musical numbers. Here's the quiet moment, the quiet scene. Dad comes home from work. It's Halloween night, time of family togetherness. They're all about to have the Halloween cake. And Dad says,
"The firm is sending me to New York to be head of the New York office of Fenton Rayburn and Company. I'm to start the first of the year. We'll leave right after Christmas."
And this goes over just terribly.
New York? What?
Suddenly, the whole, like, celebratory mood is crushed.
I simply don't believe it.
The family drifts away. In the end, we just have mother and father. And she gets up and goes to the piano, and she starts playing this song. And in the foreground, Mom and Dad are dressed mainly in brown and white and blue, very somber, restrained colors. The background is full of red. There's a red carpet running down the stairs. There's this great window at the foot of the stairs with a red velvet sash and curtain hanging over it. There's a little vase of flowers, yellow flowers with green foliage. And then he starts his action. He brings the daughters down the stairs, one after another. And with each character comes another color combination. First come the two youngest daughters, both dressed in peach pink. Then he brings the oldest daughter, played by Lucille Bremer, and she's wearing a greenish-gold dress. This contrasts with the red very nicely. She stands out, but it also, now we understand why that vase of flowers was there. It coordinates almost perfectly with these yellow flowers. Enter Judy Garland, right? Her name is Esther in the film. Esther is wearing a deep red skirt and this light blue blouse. And it's just an overwhelming moment. What you have is the primary triad. We've been waiting for it. We've got yellow and green on Lucy Bremer's dress. Then you have red and blue coming from Judy Garland. So red, yellow, and blue clicks into place. The palette is complete. Color comes forward as the emotional key for the scene. I doubt there's ever been anyone better at simply staging things before the camera so that color speaks and reinforces emotion.
The Technicolor process, from an archival point of view, is about as perfect as you can get. Even though the film is nitrate and is explosive, if it's been cared for, there is generally very little or no chemical deterioration because Technicolor did such a perfect job in processing. And because you have your three black and white records, your three black and white negatives, there is no such thing as color fading. If you want to, you can create a print of Gone with the Wind today that looks exactly like it did in 1939, to perfection.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Something happened in the 1960s when the number of color films began to outstrip the number of black and white films. Color became less special. It became a fact of film going. And I think it became neglected. You watch a Technicolor film in the 30s and 40s, there is a reason that that bouquet of flowers is there picking up that actress's hair. And there's a reason that the color temperature of the light is slightly blue or slightly warm in this scene. And I think that's what we've lost in our memory of Technicolor.
We heard from Scott Higgins, who teaches film at Wesleyan University, and from Bob Harris, who restores Technicolor movies. Trent Woolby produced our story.